It was quicker than what they would have done to him, Quinn said, half to himself.
You did the right thing, Jackson Gale said.
He turned back to Paula and grinned broadly. She whimpered, trying to push herself further back into the corner. He grabbed her hair and pulled her up.
We don't have time, Quinn said mildly.
Sure we do. I won't be long. Lauren tried to pick herself off the floor as Paula's screams began again.
Naughty, Quinn said.
His boot caught her on the side of the temple. She flopped onto her back like a broken mechanoid, incapable of movement. Her vision was fuzzy, shapes were obscured behind blotches of grey. But she saw Quinn take Paula's rifle off the wall, calmly check the power level, and shoot Frank. He turned round and aimed the barrel at her. The recall whistle sounded sharply through the jungle. Scott Williams sighed and picked himself off the ground, brushing dead leaves from his threadbare jumpsuit.
The assholes! He was sure that had been a danderel rustling through the undergrowth up ahead. Well, he'd never know now.
Wonder what's happened, Alex Fitton said.
Dunno, Scott replied.
He didn't mind Alex too much. The man was 28 and he was happy enough to talk to an Ivet. He knew some good filthy jokes, too. Scott had hunted with him regularly.
The whistle sounded again.
Alex grunted.
Come on.
They trudged towards the sound. Several other pairs of hunters appeared out of the trees, all of them walking towards the insistent whistle. Queries were shouted to and fro. Nobody knew why they were being called in. The whistle was supposed to be for injuries and the end of the day. Scott was surprised to see a big group of people lined up waiting at the top of a steepish earth mound. There were about 40 or 50 of them. They must have come out from the village. He saw Rye Mulvey standing in front of them, blowing the whistle for all he was worth. He was very conscious of all of those eyes on him as he and Alex Fitton made their way up the incline. There was a large caltuck tree straddling the brow of the mound. One of its thick lower branches overhung the slope on the other side. Three silicon fiber ropes had been slung over it. The group of villagers parted silently, forming an alley towards the tree. Definitely worried now, Scott walked through them and saw what was hanging from the ropes. Jemima had been the last. She was still choking and kicking. Her face was purple, eyes bulging. He tried to run, but they shot him in the thigh with a laser pulse and dragged him back. It was Alex Fitton who pulled the noose tight around his neck. Tears ran down his cheeks as he did it, but then Alex had been Roger Chadwick's brother-in-law. The run back to his homestead had nearly killed Gerald Skibbo. He had been returning anyway when he saw the smoke, tugging the errant sheep along on a leash. Orlando, the Skibbo family's Alsatian, bounded about through the long grass in high spirits. He knew he'd done well following the sheep's scent. Gerald smiled indulgently at his antics. He was almost fully grown now. Oddly enough, it was Lauren who was the best at training him. Gerald had traipsed across what had seemed like half of the savannah that morning. He couldn't believe how far the damn sheep had strayed in just a few hours. They had eventually found it, bleating at the end of a steep-walled gully about 3 kilometres from the homestead. He was just grateful that Sace kept to the jungle. They had never had any trouble from the croak lions, which are supposed to roam the grassland, a few distant glimpses of sleek bodies in the grass, some night-time roars. Then, when he was a couple of kilometres from home, that terrible blue-white streamer of smoke twisted idly into the sky ahead of him, its route hidden beyond the horizon. He stared at it in cold fear. All the other homesteads were kilometres away, and there was only one possible source. It was like watching his own life's blood pouring up into the cloudless Asia heavens. The homestead was everything he'd invested his life in it. There was no other future.
Lauren, he called.
He let go of the sheep's leash and started to run.
Paula!
The laser rifle banged against his side. He slung it away. Orlando barked urgently, picking up on his master's agitation. It was the grass, the bloody grass. It clung to his pounding legs, hindering him. Rucks and folds in the ground kept tripping him.
He fell headlong, grazing his hands, knocking his knee. It didn't matter. He picked himself up and kept on running, again and again.